and welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. Mark Sutherland joining us all the way from the United Kingdom, sitting in for Mr. David Paxson, who's out there somewhere chasing chickens or something. We might talk about that later. Anyway, Mark, thank you so much for joining me again for another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show.
Not at all. My pleasure, JD. Thank you. It's good to be here. And there's no way that I can fill in for David Paxton's chicken licking chasing that is going on. We may discuss that as it's a bit of an in-joke. But anyway, David, bless you.
Yes.
And we will see him very soon.
Yeah, safe travels. Safe travels to he and his wife as well. Mark, would you do us a favor today and pray us into this particular episode, and then I'll show everybody what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. Father, I just, JD and I are always grateful when you give us a platform to speak. We thank you for everyone joining us. We just ask that you would give us the words as we are trying to inform the audience, inform people that very kindly give us their time to inform them of what's going on in your world, which you are in charge of. So we just commit all of this show to you in Jesus' precious name, and also bring our dear friend David Paxton on his travels and his dear wife safely home, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Mark, going to show everybody what we intend to talk about. And, of course, as I always warn the audience, this show can go off the rails in 1 second, and we talked about something else. But anyway, try to bring you guys up to speed on what's going on in Ukraine, Russia, and, as well as the Middle East, and also staying over there in the Middle East with Iran, the United States involvement there, and, of course, with Israel. And then I've got a CRISPR update for you guys. That's at CRISPR technology, which is the gene editing tool. We had some events happen here, and you're going to want to hear about that. And then if we have time left over, we'll go with current events and Bible prophecy, and actually we will get there, I promise you on that, because there's a lot to unpack on that. So we're just going to begin here right away, Mark, with the Russian and Ukraine war update. In regard to that conflict, it's now in its third year, hard to believe. But anyway, they've entered a phase marked by intensified military operations. You've got significant casualties and then renewed diplomatic efforts. The escalation in the hostilities includes the largest drone assault since the invasion. That's Russia versus the Ukraine. That happened on May 17th. Russia launched its most extensive drone attack on Ukraine since the war's inception, with deploying 273 drones and decoys targeting Kyiv and eastern regions. Ukraine's Air Force reported that they intercepted 88 of those drones, with 128 neutralized via electronic jamming. And then you've got an intercontinental ballistic missile test. That's Ukraine's military intelligence reported that Russia plans to conduct training and combat launch of an RS-24 intercontinental ballistic missile from the Yars complex. Now, that launch is expected from Russia's, I'm not even going to attempt that, Mark, whatever region, would have a flight range exceeding 10,000 kilometers. Ukrainian officials interpret this as an intimidation tactic toward Ukraine and NATO member states. And, Mark, you know this kilometers and millimeters or whatever kilometers it is. What's 10,000 kilometers in regard to, like, miles? Do you have any idea? Because, I mean,
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I will look it up. I can look it up. What the fact is that is a great distance, and that is deeply, deeply concerning.
Yeah.
With those kind of headlines, without being too deemed to be sarcastic, that really is enabling various military industrial complexes to actually work out what missiles work, how the drones work, etc., etc., in regard to their technology, which I think is an an awful, awful, awful way to find out.
Mm-hmm.
The casualties are, we're reaching some, you know, it seems like First World War casualty figures.
Oh, man, yeah.
Or even when we go back to the Iraq-Iran war with all the casualty figures that were going on. And let's just remind ourselves that it seemed to have taken a long time for people in the EU to turn around and go, we must stop this or to negotiate it. In fact, there hasn't been that much of an impetus to even do that.
Right.
And I'll give, you know, President Trump has come in and is trying to do his best to stop that. But as I alluded to in the last time that we met a few days ago from Saturday, a dear friend of mine, as Carl Tigrib said, and I just remind that as I think the best researcher that we have on all of these issues in the world, Carl said that this whole thing in regard to negotiating peace, if suddenly there's a peace deal, the last thing the Russians want is the Ukrainians joining NATO,
right.
And then it goes in regard to when you are a member state and then you're being attacked, and all the other NATO members then have to jump in and defend you. I suppose that's a complex, there is a particular, there's various rules within that. And just to remind people that there is a NATO governance and NATO has meetings. And if you apply and you are know about that, you are then able to attend. And I think that may even give you an opportunity to question things. Just to also give you an idea of how the elites have a revolving door policy. The Prime Minister of Holland, who then lost the previous election, with Geert Wilders then winning, and their whole political machinations there are quite complex in how you end up having to get a party together and a ruling party together so you can go into a governance. But the person who lost then is now leader of NATO. Steps down, he's lost, and now he's leader of NATO. Now, this kind of thing seems to be going on regularly in Europe, where if you are really not very good at your job, you're then promoted up.
I'm just going to say that.
I am deeply, deeply concerned and also extremely embarrassed and angry that when Boris Johnson was our Prime Minister, there he is flying out there to make sure that within weeks that Zelensky is not negotiating with Putin to end the war. There is a lot of discussion on both sides, JD, in regard to this, because as a dear friend of mine even said to me today, that his viewpoint, when people view the present Russia as it is now in regard to a federation, when they say it's exactly the same as it was under the Soviet Union, that is then questionable. There is so much history, as you've said, that's built up to this. But as I've said again recently, the fact is the Europeans, our Prime Minister, of complete lunacy. It's as though we just want a third world war. We just want a war with Russia. And just to remind people, Russia is the biggest landmass in the world. And we, as a tiny little country that can fit into Texas 2.5 times with an army that we don't have anymore, really, we've just about managed to fill a part of Wembley Football Stadium. This is an embarrassment, but more importantly, we're seeing awful casualties on the Russian and on the Ukrainian side.
Yes.
And I do not want to see any more involvement from other countries. It is a complex issue. Even though we're being pushed to go, this person bad, this person good, I excuse the analogy.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a sort of, a sort of an old Western or old cowboy film and all this kind of thing, and we all think this is fun, or a video game. This is not fun. This is awful. People are dying.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of highlight that a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and put this one up here on screen. The Russian demands here, their delegation has presented conditions for a ceasefire, which including Ukraine's withdrawal from certain regions there, and also recognition of Crimea as Russian territory. You've got to remember that Russia took that territory long ago, but they want it to be recognized now. The Ukraine's adoption of neutral status. Now, that is exactly what you were talking about as far as what NATO, Russia is saying. You've got to declare yourself neutral. You cannot join NATO. That is a line that they will not allow. You see international mediation there. President Trump announcing plans to speak with both the Russian President Putin and also Ukrainian President Zelensky to facilitate the ceasefire. European leaders, including German Chancellor Friedrich Merz and French President Emmanuel Macron, are also engaging in diplomatic efforts to resolve the conflict. I can tell you that on Monday, President Trump did speak with both Putin and Zelensky, said that there is, good possibility of something. But, Trump is always, he's the deal maker. So he's not going to come out and tell you it was a bad conversation or anything like that. Looking down, though, Mark, again, what you were speaking of is the humanitarian impact there as far as casualties go. And you have the conflicts resulted in significant casualties on both sides. Now, this is according to the Ukrainian sources, okay, that Russia's lost over 973,000 troops since the war began, with 1,130 soldiers lost in just the past 24 hours. Ukraine has also suffered substantial losses, with estimates indicating hundreds of thousands of military and civilian casualties. And, you've got to remember that Russia has a huge army. And, you kind of spoke about that a little bit as far as the size of country. Well, obviously, if your country size is the size of Russia and you look at the size of Ukraine, Russia can fight this war a lot longer than Ukrainians can. They're not going to lose. I said this from the very beginning. Russia is not going to lose this war. There's got to be something that's got to be negotiated. Now, that's opinion, okay, but you're talking about a nuclear state and a non-nuclear state. You're talking about a huge country and not a little country. You're talking about a mass population versus a smaller population. I mean, there's no common sense to a Ukrainian victory. What they need to do is negotiate a peace, declare themselves neutral, because Russia's not going to accept them in NATO. It's just not going to happen. They need to negotiate the peace and get it over with. That's my personal opinion. What's yours? What do you think ought to happen?
Well, the Russian military, the way they approach war is, I think there's a famous general called Clausewitz, which is they take the opposition's military out. Mm-hmm. It's not a case of shock and awe. And they really work at destroying all the infrastructure, even though there's a lot of infrastructure has been destroyed. Also, we remind ourselves, and I've spoken about this here in the past, the reason why Putin went into Georgia in 2005, I believe, is because suddenly NATO put Georgia on a preferred list in regard to NATO membership, and Putin had warned them and said, "No, I'm not having this." Now, even though I know someone that turned around and said, "Mark, show me the proof in the fact that where the Russians said, look, we'll allow German unification, but don't bring NATO to our border. Show me the proof as the proof of that." Mm-hmm. I've always understood that. We then have to go back to we have to look at the history of Ukraine, particularly during the Second World War, and look at European borders and how they float. And as Christians, as this show being the last Christian, we are trying to really look at the spiritual implications. Mm-hmm. And there are huge, principalities and powers there exercising you know, with what's going on. And we remember, of course, when Victoria Nuland was asked by Rubio, does Ukraine have nuclear weapons? No, it has biolabs. Mm-hmm. This is all true. We remember her comment in 2014, you know, the whole thing of the Soros overthrow, influence overthrow of the government. Poroshenko is going, are you going to go to Europe? Are you going to go to Russia? Mm-hmm. He then decides to go to Russia, and then the rest is history. We mm-hmm. need to depose this individual. I say this with respectfully to everyone. This whole thing is so complex that for us as Christians, we really are asking for God's insight into this. What is actually what's going on? And one thing that the enemy does is to overplay his hand. Mm-hmm. And then we've got to look at it historically. We've got to look at it from a geopolitical point of view. We've got to look at what's happened in the Crimea, what's happened in the Donbass, mm-hmm. and go back to Russian history and what Khrushchev has said in the past, where I think he's having a card game and gives away Crimea or wins it and all this kind of thing. The Russians wanted a port. This is what's really important. The last thing we want to do is have war. Now, you are quite rightly in regard to the negotiations, and I just say this whole thing of a NATO membership and the brinkmanship, but without sounding rather sarcastic, again, as you've just mentioned there, there's Macron and there's Merz wanting to be part of this diplomatic initiative, mm-hmm. and also Keir Starmer. Well, the three of them were found in a railway carriage recently in a very, very rather disturbing picture. And then suddenly, I'm not making any accusations, but you have to wonder, was that a tissue on the desk?
Yeah.
Or was there a plastic bag mm-hmm. full of some sort of white powder or yeah. substance or something? Mm-hmm. And three people caught as if they were little schoolboys and suddenly caught and like mm-hmm. rabbits in the headlight because a journalist happened to just mm-hmm. enter yeah. at a time that they were shot by.
Yeah,
I'm not accusing anyone, mm-hmm. but I'm yeah. just, it's all over Twitter.
Oh,
it's all over. Doesn't mean that it's right, but the fact is that if we've got negotiations being led by these three idiots, frankly, God help us.
Yeah.
I just say that.
Well, I saw that same picture too, and the fact, mm-hmm. I don't do drugs, but my goodness, you know, it looked bad. It did look bad.
It looked very bad.
Yeah. Now, in the second half of the show, we'll get back into what Mark was talking about there, as far as the biblical link here, because I've got a lot of stuff on that, and I definitely want to get to it. But right now, I want to move on to the Middle East conflicts here. And what we're looking at here is, of course, Gaza and Hamas. There's ongoing negotiations there. Now, Israel has launched their Operation Gideon's Chariots. Now, this is, they have reported targeting over 670 Hamas sites, including tunnels and command centers. This has resulted in deaths of dozens of Hamas operatives, and I'm going to mention only one of them, and that is Mohammed Sinwar, and he was the brother of I can't even remember his first name, Mark. You have to remind me, but the other Sinwar brother who was in charge of Hamas that was taken out. Now his brother, who took his place, I guess, he's been taken out. There was a lot of discussion as to whether or not he was actually killed or not, but we've got confirmation now that that did happen. So I'd like your comments on that, sir.
The action, they've gone in again. They've had no option. They've got to deal with that. The other thing that people have got to bear in mind is the propaganda war within, this is my opinion, mm-hmm. within the media within Israel, because right. it's extremely extremely left-wing, mm-hmm. all right? Yeah. The unity within Israel, within the people, to say, no, we've got to go in and deal with this. And, of course, the left-wing then want to undermine that. We need to stop the war. They've got no option but to do what they need to do. And as right. much as this is going to sound very, very unpopular, they need to get in there and finish the job. And personally, Gaza needs to be, let's just remind everyone, up until the 67 war, unless hopefully, God willing, I've got my history right, you know, Gaza was then overseen by Egypt. Mm-hmm. And then the 67 war came about. They were halfway to Egypt, well and truly into the Sinai there, then withdrew, and then they had then responsibility of the 67 war. And also out of that was the first time they'd been back into Jerusalem, right. as we've said on previous shows, for a few thousand years. They're back in there. And then suddenly from nowhere, the decision is to then bring in the Palestinian Authority. They call it the West Bank. We call it Judea and Samaria.
Right.
And mm-hmm. then this other political complications happened. Anyone negotiating from an Egyptian point of view, from a Palestinian Authority point of view, they turn and say, we want the borders back to 1967 and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, they don't want Israel there, from the river to the sea, from the Mediterranean to the Levant. That's it. They want to wipe it out. And it doesn't matter what people on the Young Turks turn around and call with one or two-state solution. The two-state solution, if you listen to incredible people like Gadi Taub and other programs that come out of JNS and all the rest, if you listen to them and other voices, the two-state solution, they've already tried that. It was called Gaza. It hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. Within a couple of years, you know, within a short period of time after that withdrawal, then Hamas then come in, and then rockets were constantly launched into Israel. You can't live like that. Also, the civilian casualties per, you know, killing Hamas terrorists, the figure is incredible in how much effort they go in to move civilians, etc., etc. I think the IDF, the Israeli forces, I don't think any other army is watched as much as they are. Frankly, having recently been in Israel and having recently had a particular conversation that I am just thinking of, whose son has been into Gaza and will be doing other tours, they've got to get on with it. And this, of course, to some, as we said, without sounding repeating myself, will be deemed as very, very unpopular. But spiritually, this is really, really important. Yes. Get on with it. Deal with it.
I totally agree with you. The Hamas people have been told, even by their, Qatar right now is trying to play nice with everybody. I understand that. But, they've been told, lay down your arms, give it up. You know, this isn't working. And they, for whatever reason, they just want to continue to fight.
They've got the hostages, JD. This is the whole thing.
Well, but
and then
the thing,
when they say, "Oh, can we have a ceasefire and we'll release them?"
Yeah,
and then
some.
A ceasefire enables them to rearm.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, I've seen this through press reports all over the world that all they want to do is drag this thing on for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. You know, if they could, they'd hold on to those hostages until the cows come home. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. all they've got to do is release the hostages, lay down their arms, and leave, and this thing is over. Israel will go no more.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm conscious of time, but we discussed this the other day when suddenly, fantastic, that Edan Alexander is released, mm-hmm. and it's as though Qatar makes a phone call and go, release him now.
Yeah, let him go.
Why weren't those comments made on the 8th, 9th of October immediately?
Right.
And just to remind ourselves, all of the Hamas leadership as millionaires, if not billionaires, mm-hmm. were in Qatar. Qatar
yeah.
finances Al Jazeera and all the rest.
Yes.
That's factual. We're not making any of this up.
Right. And you see all the, you know, they're always complaining about, well, Israel's not humanitarian, you know, the poor children, the poor women. Okay, well, where's all that with Israel? You know, they're the ones that got attacked. And you're blaming them for getting attacked. They're the
absolutely.
Ones that are committing murder and rape and everything else, yet they blame that on Israel too. It's
unbelievable. They're actually, yeah, and they're allowing aid in to assist their enemy. The aid mm-hmm. is, I think, going back in now. And of course, mm-hmm. as experts in Israel have said, the way Hamas then tax people, they then charge or resell some of that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, these are the facts on the ground that mm-hmm. are very, very difficult for some people to accept. They're blinded by it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have allowed in aid. I don't remember any other country allowing aid into their mm-hmm. Their enemy's mm-hmm. territory. I've mm-hmm. never
absolutely.
Heard of this before.
No.
They're also very specific about their targeting. To where they don't want to hurt any civilians. They go out of their way to advise people that, you know, we're going to hit this area, get out, you know, whatever.
Yep.
You don't see that on the other side, and yet Israel is the problem as far as everybody's concerned. But again, Mark, the Bible kind of tells us that's the way things are going to be. And we're up to date on that. We expect it. We know exactly how this all ends up in the end. Because I've read the end of the book, and I understand what's coming, and I see what's coming, and it's coming together right now. So anyway, we are going to take a very short break. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes with the second half of Last Christian, and then we're going to get into prophecy. We're going to show you just exactly what to expect over the coming weeks and months. We'll be right back. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB. Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that is Mr. Mark Sutherland joining me all the way from the United Kingdom. Isn't it wonderful technology's come that way, where you can have two Christians talk to each other over that vast area over there? I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, we'll move right on along here. I want to give you guys an update on Iran. I think that's something we do need to talk about, because Iran is working toward a nuclear weapon, whether or not they want to admit it or not. Now, as of May the 18th, the United States and Iran are continuing to engage in critical nuclear negotiations. I'm going to skip through a lot of this because I want to get to some other better topics, or not better topics, but more important topics for sure. But anyway, Iran... Mark, they say that they're going to, that they're able to agree to a lot of the stuff that the United States wants them to agree to in exchange for, you know, taking all the sanctions off. But the one thing that they will not agree to is stopping enrichment of the nuclear material, of uranium. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't need enrichment in order to operate like a nuclear facility for energy and that type of thing, but enrichment is your way to work toward a weapon. So let's say that they accept this deal or whatever, and you know they're only going to enrich it to 5%, something like that. Well, okay, that's good during Trump's term, but as soon as Trump leaves office, what keeps them from popping that thing up to 90% and having a weapon? You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong now, but to my knowledge, you don't need to enrich uranium to operate a civilian nuclear program. Is that correct?
JD, you're right, because that's been part of the discussion. I mean, the fact that Iran are in a situation, and we've got this theocracy of lunatics who then think, the fact that Obama, his administration's from 2008, then pushed forward and allowed this, because mm-hmm. it's a case of, well, if you've got a bomb, other people have got a bomb, then it's not going to happen. It's going to be, you know, mad, you know, assured destruction and all of this kind of thing. This is utter craziness. And without being rude, within the culture, you cannot trust them.
Right.
You cannot trust whatever they say. I am not addressing the Iranian people. The Iranian people, a lot of them love Israel. Mm-hmm. They do not want the regime to be ruling them, and there is no doubt about it. In the past, and it happened under the Obama administration, that when mm-hmm. the people stood up to revolt, they should have been
supported.
Backed.
Yeah,
they were not. I don't know how this is going to play out. I am not suggesting anything, but I am sure, of course, that Israel is looking at all its enemies and what its enemies are up to. Mm-hmm. Now, how you deal with taking out certain plants that enable enrichment that leads to a nuclear weapon, mm-hmm. I frankly do not know how you do that. Just a reminder, we talked about this recently, when Iran sent April 2024, I think, all of those rockets, all of those missiles over against Israel, this huge barrage,
right?
They flew over Jordan. Now, Jordan, to its credit, gave its airspace up to the Israelis, to other forces, including the UK, to actually shoot these down and to deal with it. This is the kind of thing that they will do. And to say that it's a huge operation for Israel to fly over that land to then fly to then attack Iran, it's incredible what they're able to do and how they go about doing that. And I'd really encourage everyone to get out a map and look at it geographically and look what they then look what they have to contend with. So Trump is saying, I am in negotiation with Iran and everything seems to be going well. Well, I'm sorry. I don't believe them.
Mark, I believe that he is trying. Now, the thing is this, you know, and I like Trump. I think a lot of the stuff he's done has been great. But, you know, we're honest with the audience here. We let them know, you know, Trump is not, he's not Jesus Christ. He's not our Savior. You know, and I'm not even sure he's a Christian. I mean, I'm not. I mean, he calls himself one. That's fine. I call myself one for decades myself, but I wasn't. So if he is reading his Bible, he knows that there's not going to be a peace deal. You know, it's just not going to happen because the Bible says it's not going to happen. So any of you people out there that think, okay, well, you know, if they all get together, we're all going to be buddies in the end. That's not how it works, okay? The Bible is clear about what's going to happen, and it doesn't involve a deal in which Iran all of a sudden plays nice. As a matter of fact, Iran is the primary person or country pushing toward Israel to eliminate it. That's in the Bible. You know, just look it up. Go to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Read that, and that is very, very enlightening for you. Now, we can beat that subject to death, Mark. We've done it on this show several times, and the thing is I want to keep us moving, and but mainly because I've got you, and I can get a lot more information here because we're trying to do this across the ocean, and it's great to get two different perspectives, the United States perspective, and then what's going on in the UK. And I want to get your perspective on this one for sure. This is CRISPR. Okay, this is the gene editing tool. And for the first time, this is the first personalized in vitro treatment in a groundbreaking medical advancement. A nine-month-old baby named KJ became the first person to be successfully treated with a personalized CRISPR gene editing therapy. He was born with severe, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce this thing, carbonyl phosphate synthesis 1, or CPS1, deficiency, a rare metabolic disorder with no existing treatments. Now, KJ underwent a pioneering procedure at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, United States of America, in collaboration with the University of Pennsylvania. The scientists corrected a specific gene mutation in the baby's liver cells responsible for the disorder. Supported by the National Institutes of Health, the findings were published in the New England Journal of Medicine. This success marks a historic milestone, potentially opening pathways for gene editing technologies to treat hundreds of rare diseases. All that sounds just so wonderful, and it's not. We're talking about changing a person's DNA. We're talking about gene editing, and if you take it to the extreme, that means you can change somebody's hair color, their eye color, their height, their weight, how they appear. You know, it's not all peaches and cream here. And I want to get your perspective, Mark, because I know you got one on this one. Go ahead.
Well, it's not. It's going to be very quick. This is deeply, deeply concerning. We remember what the Bible says about we are made in the image of God. Now, the last thing I would want to do is to see anyone suffer from any illness or disease or anything like that. And this is the dichotomy of how of seeing the fact that you're healing someone, you're helping a young child, and then also in the hands of surgeons, you're giving them skill, you're giving them technologies that allow them to play God.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm an expert on it, but I've got issues with a lot of this. And the other thing is, JD, I think some of the advanced technology is far more advanced than we would even have. You remember the film Boys of Brazil and all of this, and then people making, Hitler's children, etc., etc.
Right.
We have to think spiritually what is going on with this. This is alarming. There is always, when they push these advances, are they actually turning around and saying there is a moral, there's, what about morality here?
Well, let's look at this one. I'm going to jump in on you here because you're going right down the path here. Beyond this personalized treatment for KJ, there's other notable CRISPR-related developments. Now, there's a call for a moratorium on this. Leading scientific societies have called for a 10-year moratorium on this germline gene editing, emphasizing the need for ethical considerations and regulatory frameworks. So exactly what is this germline editing? It involves altering the DNA of human embryos, eggs, or sperm in ways that are heritable, meaning the changes are passed on to future generations, unlike somatic cell editing, which affects only the treated individual. This germline modification has far-reaching implications for descendants and the human gene pool.
Yeah.
Now then, let's think about this for a second. As in the days of Noah,
absolutely.
You know, this hits that right on the head here, because what you had was the angels. Demonic angels is what's coming to my mind. I'm sure you've got the correct one thing in yours. But they come down and they impregnate human women, and you've got the days of the giants and all that. Okay, well, we're not seeing the angels fly down here and attacking our human women anymore. However, we are seeing, or at least to my knowledge, it could be happening still. But anyway, but you are seeing gene editing tools which have the same effect in both cases. The individuals that are affected become non-human, non-salvageable at that time, non-savable.
And you are talking about Genesis 6. No, you're talking about Genesis 6,
yes,
verses 1 to 8. You're right, JD, and we look at why the flood came and to wipe out all this genetic crossbreeding, etc., etc. And then suddenly, no, I don't want to just come up with words for word's sake. You're absolutely bang on the money. Look at this. We look at what we've been through over the last few years in regard to people being encouraged to take an insertion into their body, how that's affected people, that's affected their vital organs. We've got injuries, we've got deaths. It's like this big medical experiment all over again. It's then affecting young women where they're finding it difficult to become pregnant and all the rest. It's all part of this, because the enemy wants to take away that whole thing. We are made in the image of God. Psalm 139 says, I have created you, I know every, I put every single hair of on your head, I knew you in your mother's womb. I'm basically saying, you know, you have a purpose, and your purpose is to have a relationship with me, with God. the subject, JD, is vast, but man is thinking, ah, great, I can replace God, we just keep going, etc. No, it's the a moratorium for 10 years. Well, personally, I think let's have it far longer than that. There needs a moratorium. They need what's happened in these situations, JD, is that they pushed moral values, they pushed the morality of this so fast, and morality needs to be allowed to actually adjudicate in this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's look at some weekend stuff here, because I think it pretty much ties in as well. But you look at the prophetic implications of some of these global events that we've been talking about. And number one, and it's always going to be number one, is Israel at war. It's the epicenter of prophecy. You know, and for people that would like to dig deeper, I'd encourage you to look at the books of Zechariah, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, Ezekiel 38 and 39, Isaiah 17, 1, which I think can happen at any day now, Luke 21, 20, and then you look at current events. The Israeli military's extensive operations in Gaza, the possible death of senior Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar, and that's been confirmed since this report came out. The targeting of Hezbollah positions in Lebanon have escalated tensions with terrorist proxies that are directly funded or backed by Iran. We've talked about that. Ceasefire talks faltering as Hamas refuses to disarm or demilitarize, while Israel demands complete demilitarization of Gaza and exile of Hamas. Then you got the Houthis, we don't talk about them much, launched from Yemen into Israeli territory and airstrikes back from Israel, marking the first Israeli-Yemen kinetic military exchange in modern times. Just for the sake of time here, moving on a little bit, you got the prophetic significance here. The convergence of multiple hostile groups against Israel from the north, that's Lebanon and Hezbollah, south, Hamas in Gaza, east, Iran-backed militias in Syria, and southwest, the Houthis in Yemen. This mirrors the strategic encirclement described in the book of Ezekiel and in Psalm 83. Israel's growing isolation and its refusal to divide the land given to it by God align with Zechariah 12, which prophesies all nations gathering against Jerusalem, but being judged for it. You look at the nuclear brinkmanship there. We've talked about that too. In biblical context, Ezekiel 38:5, where Persia, which is modern-day Iran, is listed as a key ally in the Gog and Magog War. Current events, President Trump claims the U.S. and Iran are close to a nuclear deal, but Iran is demanding the right to continue uranium enrichment. Again, something that we talked about earlier in the show. And then European powers threaten a U.N. snapback of sanctions, while Iran warns of irreversible consequences. And Israel remains completely opposed and feels diplomatically sidelined. And they should, because all of these talks are happening about them without them being in it. I would feel kind of left out too. So that's a lot of information I just threw out there, Mark, but whatever you gleaned from that and your opinion.
It's heading in one direction. You can't deny it, especially as I think even today, you know, Greek Airlines is saying we're suspending flying into Israel. I think Ryanair are. There are other airlines that are doing it, saying, oh, it's too complicated for us or whatever combination of going on, which is to either damage it economically, and also the global elites are turning around and saying, well, we want to make it difficult, we want to restrict people flying as well. In many ways, I've got, JD, I've got nothing else to say except we have to be paying attention, we've got to be praying, we have to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and for the peace of Israel. As much as it is deeply upsetting, we cannot stop biblical prophecy, but we see the fact that countries will unite against Israel, but the God of Israel will speak, as it's been prophetically said. You know, these countries will be drawn in, and God will speak.
Yes. Now I'm gonna jump in. I want to jump in on you on it because you were just recently there. So, you know, I want to touch on that just a little bit in whatever way that you're comfortable in discussing your trip. But you were in Israel. So, you know, I would and this is recent, you know, and I talked to David about this. You know, we were worried about you, you know, the whole time you were over there. But the thing is we kept it from our audience that you were in Israel while you were there. We only are talking about it after you leave because, you know, our primary thing, you know, is your safety. We want to make sure you're safe. So, again, to whatever extent that you feel comfortable, I would like for you to kind of talk a little bit about Israel, any kind of security problems that you may have had getting in or out or anything that you saw over there. That might be of benefit to somebody thinking about going to Israel.
I would encourage anyone to go to Israel. It's an incredible experience because you are then within the land,
right.
And you are the Bible is unfolding in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
What a privilege it is to go. The people, I believe, the average Israeli on the street, vast majority, they are united in this war, etc. Of that, there is no doubt. I personally felt very safe there. Have the Houthis chucked a missile into Ben Gurion in that direction? Yes. Have there been some very serious fires? Yes. But as I've said previously, we have a responsibility to find out what's going on, not to sensationalize things, not to overreact,
right.
But also to accept that we cannot, Israel cannot have a situation when Hamas terrorists think it's perfectly acceptable to fire rockets into Israel, and Hamas is responsible for the devastation, for all that's gone on there. They are responsible for that.
Yes.
But I would encourage people to go. Yeah, Israel needs us to spend money within its border, and it needs our support, and it needs our prayers.
Amen.
And as we are finding out, if we look at the way Qatar has financed universities of Columbia and Harvard, etc., and your side of the pond has also encouraged student uprising across the West, whether the appalling behavior that has gone on in Australia, on the streets of London and all the rest, the propaganda machine is in overdrive, and we're seeing that, and also at the same time we're holding what biblical prophecy is saying, and there's the implications for us as well. I'll just end with this. Genesis 12 makes it very, very clear. You bless my people, I will bless you. You curse my people, I will curse you.
Amen.
It's very,
Amen.
Very, it's very, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
We would need, I've said this to you before, my friend, we would need many hours to go through the history, the establishment of Israel as a nation, and it is established. It's the only country in the world where people are constantly, whether that's from the International Court, the ICC, etc., where they are constantly trying to undermine the legitimacy of Israel. And as I've said to you before, the archaeology doesn't lie. This is the historic homeland of the Jewish people.
Amen.
That is Judah, Samaria. This is Israel. You can't deny that. But Israel also, it has its own deep state. There is deep history here that goes a long, long way. There are many people who would say they are of Jewish descent and they don't they don't necessarily agree with Israel, etc. A lot of those vote, some of those vote Democrat, and are in America. And again, that's an unpopular thing to say, but the fact that many people who are very committed to the land then flew back just after October the 7th to then say no, we wish to fight and we wish to push back. And again, I'm not going to make myself very popular with certain people here who say, well, look at what's happening in Gaza. Of course, it's tragic, but Hamas are responsible for that, and how the figures in regard to the deaths of children, etc., they are then reported. Those figures come from the health authority within Hamas, within Gaza. You cannot trust. You cannot trust those figures.
You just hit on something, and my mind went to it very, very, very quickly. I said, you know, there is a deep state there too. And for those of you that don't believe it, there really is a deep state in the United States of America. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a deep state in the UK.
Big time.
I would almost guarantee you, you name a country, there's a deep state there. And so
absolutely, and that's why. You've got problems with your judiciary in America. Right. In Israel, they have got problems with their judiciary. When Bibi Netanyahu won the election in 2022, immediately he's saying, well, we need judicial reforms. As someone has said to me, it actually needs rescuing. You can argue, according to some, that Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, is basically trying to run the country, but has actually been disempowered because you have this judiciary that turn around to the prime minister and go, no, you can't do that, you can't do this. As I've said on previous shows elsewhere, that if you want to sack the head of the Shin Bet, which he has done, and then the judges are turning around and saying, no, there's a court case they've got against Bibi. You've got an attorney general in Israel who seriously needs questioning, has got far too much power. And in the last sort of 30 seconds of the show is like saying, what is her ideology in the fact that what motivates her, and in her case, and it is about power, and people have got to, they've got to understand this. If you are leading to, as prophecy says, to a one world government system, in the UK we have got judges that to me they're self-appointed with our Supreme Court, etc., etc. They're stepping over a line, and it's one way where we're seeing our democracy undermined, because Starmer is basically taking us back into the EU. These are the principalities that are playing out, and Israel is facing the same within their government structure, and that, since October the 7th, has begun to expose that. In the early hours of October the 7th, if you as military, Shin Bet, etc., are not informing the Prime Minister of what's going on, there is some deep issues. Yeah. Thanks, JD.
No, you're well welcome. I can see these deep states coming together, and I think that they are right now. And I believe that this is, that we are in the early stages of the last days. And so we encourage you to accept Christ before it's too late. Thank you again, Mr. Sutherland, for stepping in for David. And we hope to have you on really, really soon. Good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday,
Thursday and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.